Hey there, Music Podcast for Kids listeners. This message is for teachers and homeschool parents. The Music Podcast for Kids has an awesome digital resource to enhance the experience of the show in your classroom. Easily download 10 of our popular shows in audio and video form, digital and printable listening guides, sing-along songs in video and audio form, percussion parts, lyric and lead sheets, and most importantly, completed lesson plans from our nationally certified teacher, Mr. Fight. Our resource is great for virtual and in-person teaching for homeschool, substitute, and classroom teachers. Find the resources on our website, themusicpodcastforkids.com. We hope you enjoy the show.
Music begin in 3, 2, 1.
Fun.
That's what we're gonna do.
Mr. Henry,
Mr. Fife,
exploring along with you.
Learning music, having fun.
That's what we're gonna do. Mr. Henry,
Mr. Fife,
love hanging out with you.
The Music Podcast for Kids.
Hello, and welcome to The Music Podcast for Kids. We're your hosts, Mr. Henry
and Mr. Fife.
Music educators extraordinaire. The Music Podcast for Kids is a fun and educational podcast where we learn and explore the best subject ever.
Music!
Just chat. Just chatting. Just chat. Just chatting. Just chat. Just chatting. Just chatting.
Eric Whitaker is a Grammy Award-winning composer and conductor, creating a variety of orchestral and choral pieces that continue to capture the hearts and minds of many. His popularity grows with his incredible virtual choir, which started in 2010. We will learn more about the virtual choir in the interview today. Mr. Whitaker has even collaborated with film composers for movies like Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides. It is with great pleasure to have such a wonderful composer, conductor, and musician. Hello, Eric, and welcome to the show.
Hey, Bill. Hey, Bruce. So glad to be here with you guys.
Great. Well, thank you so much for being here. And we always like to start out asking our guests about their background with music education as a child. So you grew up in a small town in Nevada. What experiences did you have as a child in the school setting and even outside of school?
So I grew up, like you said, in a very little farming town, and I could play piano by ear. My parents tried to give me piano lessons because they saw that I liked it, but I just wanted nothing to do with lessons. And I really fought it. And in the end, I ended up teaching myself how to play piano. And from the ages of about 12 to about 15, I played trumpet in marching band. Oh, cool. But I never learned to read music. I could only hear, you know, I had a good ear, and so I could hear it and play it back. And then at about the age of 15, I started a pop band, and I played synthesizers, and I wrote pop and rock songs all the way through high school. It wasn't until I was 18 that I even discovered classical music.
Oh, wow.
So high school, you of course continued with the band and the creating music. So who were, as you went through that, who were some of your inspirations, musical inspirations? We all have our, you know, people we look up to and want to emulate. So who were some of your inspirations when you grew up as a kid?
Well, you guys will know these people. I don't know if any of your listeners will know them, but these were bands like Depeche Mode and Duran Duran and Prince and Michael Jackson. You know, like. This is all I listened to. And then somewhere off on the other side, there was a film composer named John Williams who wrote music, you know, for Star Wars and E.T. and all of these iconic films. And that's really the only classical music I heard was film music. But, oh, wow, did I love it.
Yeah, that's neat. And so when did you become interested in the idea of composing choral music and getting into the choral music part?
Well, I remember the exact day that it happened. So I went to college. I was 18 years old. And like I said, I didn't even read music. And at the college there in Las Vegas, there was a man named David Weiler, who's still a really good friend of mine. He's the man who changed my life. And he invited me to come and sing in the choir. And the very first day of rehearsals, we sang a piece by Mozart called The Requiem. And it starts with this movement where I'm a bass. You can hear how low my voice is. So I'm a bass, where we start and we sing Kyrie eleison, and then altos, and then sopranos and tenors, and everybody in the room was singing. And I just stood there like trembling. I wasn't singing. I was just shaking, and I had tears in my eyes, and I could feel it all over my body. And it was like somebody was saying my real name for the first time, not my name, Eric Whitaker, but my real name in my heart. Yeah. It was this whole world had been introduced to me. And I left that rehearsal the biggest choir geek in the world. It just absolutely changed my life that one day.
Wow, that's amazing. And it is true. Choral, when you get all of those voices together singing, it really is such an amazing experience that you don't get anywhere else. You don't get it by putting on headphones and just listening to music. It's something that you really almost become a part of. So
that's exactly right. It feels like you're part of I'll tell you, for the first time in my life, I felt part of something larger than myself.
Yeah.
I really felt like I was part of this team or this organism that was alive and moving. And also there's something incredibly special, like you say, Bill, when you're singing together, there's this moment where everyone in the room takes a breath at the same time. So, and you do this, and it even gives me chills just thinking about taking that breath at the same time, something about everybody in the room all doing the same thing, all for the same reason.
Yeah.
It's thrilling.
Yeah, that's so cool. So the first time I heard the piece Lux Rumque was actually from the St. Olaf Christmas of Norway special, which was a while ago. And my family and I, we were just in awe. It was the first time we heard it, and just like, wow, who wrote this? You know, it was just amazing. So what inspired you to write Lux Rumque, and what story is the piece telling?
Well, first, your pronunciation of it is spectacular.
Oh, good. I got it.
Yeah, you got it perfectly. So your listeners know that Lux Aurumque, that crazy title, it's just Latin, and it means light and gold. That's all it means, but it's translated into Latin. And so the whole piece is about kind of shimmering light and the warmth of gold. And the inspiration for me was that I remember as a composer wondering, would it be possible for me to teach the audience how to breathe and when to breathe without them knowing that they were being taught? Mm-hmm. And so even if you listen to the very beginning of it, it starts and it crescendos, Lux, and it does it again. And if you're just listening to it passively, your mind starts to fall into the pattern of breathing in and breathing out. And so the whole piece is based on this kind of golden breath that one takes. And the poem, when it's translated into English, is very simply, light, warm, and heavy as pure gold, and the angels sing softly to the newborn babe. And so you heard it on this Christmas concert. Right. It was a Christmas piece. Yep. And I just imagine this little baby in the manger and these angels breathing, even the light breathing warmly. And I wanted the audience to feel that kind of that moment. That was the inspiration.
Yeah, well, we definitely did. I know I did. So it's
thank you.
It's unbelievable. So
thank
it's amazing.
You.
Yeah.
And something else that's really cool and techie that you've done for many years now is the virtual choir. So we're all kind of in the more virtual atmosphere these days with all the things happening in the world. But you were piecing these types of things together before you even had to. So now we actually have to try to figure it all out. But you were actually doing this before you even had to do that. And so tell us a little bit about the virtual choir so our listeners can get an idea of how it works. And then where'd you get the idea to even come up with such a cool idea like that?
Well, thank you. Yes, this was 10 years ago. Can you imagine? 10 years. Wow. And what happened was there was this young woman named Britlin, and she was 17 years old. She lived in New York, and she uploaded a video to YouTube. And you can still see it. It's just a fan video to me. And she says, "Hi, Mr. Whitaker. I'm a big fan, and I'd like to make this for you." And she sings the soprano line, the top line to a piece that I had written. But the thing is, she didn't know me, of course, right? She just put it on YouTube. And now all of your listeners are so familiar with YouTube. You know, it's just there. But 10 years ago, YouTube, we didn't really know what it was. And it wasn't so usual to just post something and hope it would make it to someone. You know, I always think of it like this electronic message in a bottle. you put this bottle into this virtual ocean and just send it out and hope it finds somebody. But amazingly, it did find me. A friend sent me the link to her video and I watched it, and her voice is so pure and so personal. You know, she took everything that she was and she put it into this video and then uploaded it. And when I saw it, I was really moved by it. And I just got this very simple idea, which was, if you could get, say, 25 people to do exactly what Britlin is doing, right? They sing their part, the soprano line or alto or tenor or bass. As long as they were singing in the same speed and in the same key, if they just uploaded their videos and I literally started them all at the same time, just push play on all of them at the same time, that this choir would unfold, right? They would all sing together and this virtual choir would unfold. But I didn't know if it would work at all. It was just an idea. And so I posted on my blog, I said, and on Facebook, I said, I actually wrote the words, OMG, OMG, which I will never do again. I have a 14-year-old son who's still embarrassed by the fact that I wrote that. And I said, I've got this idea, let's try it. And then everybody said to me, okay, great, but how do we all sing at the same tempo? I hadn't thought of this. And so I got this idea, okay, well, I'll upload a video of me conducting, but there won't be any sound at all, right? I'll just imagine the choir in my mind. Wow. And I'll just conduct and get everything just right. And then people will upload their videos. And I really didn't know if they would. I didn't know if anybody would even upload a video. And amazingly, they started posting them. And this first little virtual choir had 185 different singers from 12 countries. Wow. They all uploaded their videos and we pieced it all together. And it's this piece, Lux Aurumque, mm-hmm. Light and Gold. And it worked. It sounded like music. It was, I couldn't have imagined that it would become what it became.
Yeah. Yeah. It is really cool to watch. And so it started out as 185 voices, and how many voices is it now? Cause it's picked up a little, right?
It's growing.
So each one gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And the reason for that is that each time we upload a video to YouTube, it goes viral.
Yeah.
And then it gets shared around the world. And then what happens is singers all around the world see it and they start writing to us and they say, I have to be a part of this. When is the next one? And I'll tell you, when we made the first one, I never in my wildest dreams thought we'd make a second one. You know, that just wasn't something I'd thought about. But now we've made six of them.
Yeah.
And the latest one that we just released 2 months ago, it's called Sing Gently, Virtual Choir 6, has 17,572 singers from 129 countries.
Wow.
There's only 191 countries on Earth. Can you imagine? So most of the world is represented and joined in the choir. It's really kind of an earth choir now.
Yeah.
I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. A new, you actually have done it. That's amazing.
I'm doing it. Yeah. That's so cool.
Yeah. And it's only possible with technology, right? With now that we're able to do this, that most people have access to the internet and have at least a simple camera and a microphone. And so even 10 years ago, it wouldn't have been remotely possible to do something like that.
Yeah, it's amazing. So in my class, we have an activity called Imagination Time, which is actually a practice I learned from my teacher when I was student teaching. It's a time where kids simply listen to music and then describe, either through a picture or words, how the music makes them feel, and you know, some sort of image that it places in their head. Your music is used often during the time in music class. Yeah. I've had students listen to Ghost Train and Cloudburst because of the incredible use of sound to create a particular storyline that can be expressed through pictures or words. Mm. So could you tell the audience a little bit about Cloudburst and how did you come to the idea of creating a piece with a sense of specific imagery like that?
Mm. Well, I'll tell you that before I talk about Cloudburst, it really warms my heart that you say that it's used in these settings where young people are hearing it, and then it maybe makes visual, you know, pictures and movies in their head. Mm-hmm. I love movies. And like I was saying, I grew up watching, you know, like the Star Wars movies. I've probably seen the first Star Wars, well, episode 4, or, you know,
right,
now.
Right.
But I've probably seen it 500 times, you know. So, and most of the time when I'm writing music, there is a part of me that's thinking about it. It's like the soundtrack to a movie, but without a movie. And so I love the idea that it's creating images mm-hmm. in people's minds that they can see and feel. And with Cloudburst, it was an actual thing that happened to me. So I was in college and I was in that choir that I joined in. We went on tour up in Northern California near San Francisco. And we had stopped at the end of a long day of driving and we were out near a lake, this beautiful, beautiful lake. And all around the lake, it was kind of these mountains and you could hear frogs and crickets and birds, you know, late afternoon. Mm-hmm. And then coming in over the mountains were these incredible clouds, you know, these dark clouds that were slowly moving toward us. And when the clouds got about 3/4 of the way over the lake, all of those animals all stopped making noise at the same time. Oh, wow. It was just, you know, that electric moment as if yeah. they knew what was about to happen. Yeah. And then this clap of thunder and this crazy rain came down. And it was such an experience for me. You know, it really took my breath away. Just the beauty of the natural world that I wanted to write a piece that captured that feeling.
Yeah.
And I knew from when I was a kid, there's this game that you can play where you make a rainstorm, you know, where like part of the class does this, where they rub their hands together, right? Yep. And part of them stomp their feet so you can hear thunder. Yeah. And then some people snap their fingers. And even me doing this, right? It really sounds like it.
Just like
that. Yeah. Amazing. And so I thought, what if we incorporated that into the piece itself? And so while they're singing, I have a big bass drum, which, you know, is for the thunder. And then there's even an instrument called a thunder sheet, this big piece of tin that you can shake like this. It sounds like thunder together with a bass drum.
Yeah.
And then not only do I have the singers snapping their fingers, but then I turn to the audience and also do this and they start snapping and it truly sounds like rain.
Yeah.
And as a composer, for me, the best kinds of music or best kinds of art are always the ones that make me feel like I'm inside it. Not just that I'm watching it, but that I'm, like you said, that I can see it in my mind and I'm there as part of it.
Yeah.
And that's what I was trying to do when I wrote Cloudburst.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. So as musicians, we always, it's a creative process, of course, when you're creating music and we start in different places. So we're always curious about how a composer starts the creation process. So, you know, do you sit down at the piano and begin putting ideas or just hum a tune or get the staff paper out and start writing or just, you know, use electronics? How do you start that process to get the ball rolling on your creations?
It's a really good question. I think what happens to me every time is I get this kind of ache in my throat where I feel like I want to sing. And the problem is I'm not a very good singer. There's an old saying that the reason composers compose is because they can't sing. And I really think that's true. And so I'm just aching to sing the song. I don't even know what it is yet. It's kind of unformed. And then what I'll do is I sit down and I can send you guys some of this if you want to use it. I sit down and I draw out the piece before there's any music, before I write any notes. It's what I call the emotional architecture. And it's the journey that I want the listener and the performance to go on, the emotional journey. And I'll draw pictures and words that say exciting or scary or virtuosic, these different words of what I want the piece to be. And then once I've kind of drawn what the piece will basically look like, then I go in and start finding the actual notes to make that thing happen. So it's a little abstract, but it's funny now that I'm talking about it out loud. It's very visual, right? Yeah. It's almost like making a movie, like the storyboards for a movie or a comic book on the page, and then turning that into music.
Oh, that's so cool. And so are you at the piano typically, after you've drawn that out, is it the piano that is the instrument of choice?
Sometimes it's the piano where I'll just sit and improvise, just playing, kind of looking for, my son's a gamer. And so I've been gaming with him. And so if any of your listeners play Zelda, for me, it's always like finding this key that takes you to the next world. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking for, it's what I call in my world, the golden brick, which is just a note or a chord that I know belongs to that piece that I'm going to make. So sometimes I'm just looking for it. And then if my fingers land on it, oh, there it is.
Yeah.
But then sometimes I just take long walks or I'm in the shower and just humming and humming and humming to myself. And then, oh, there it is. Yeah. Just those two notes. That's it. That's the key to somehow unlocking the rest of the piece.
Yeah, that's cool. And then you grab your phone real quick and record it so you remember it, right?
That's exactly what I do. I have hundreds of voice memos of me.
Yeah, right. So is that constant for you? So I know I find myself through the day where I'm always, you know, my mind really doesn't stop. But I imagine musically, you probably are you always trying to think of ideas, or ideas kind of hit you through the day and it's just who you are. I'm sure who you are. So it's very natural, I guess, huh?
Yeah. So during any day, it's just, there's always a cloud of melodies and ideas that are happening. But when I'm on the hunt to write a piece, you know, when I get that ache and I'm trying to find a very specific thing, then it becomes very loud in my head. And it really takes over my life that in fact, my wife will joke that we'll be sitting there at breakfast and that I'll be acting like I'm having a conversation, but I'm actually just sort of staring off into space, you know? I really feel like it takes all of my brain power to do that. And it's not that I'm trying to. In fact, I have to sort of like force myself back into reality. You know, okay, wait, there's breakfast sitting in front of me with my beautiful wife talking to me. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like I have to pull myself back into reality long enough to just have a conversation.
Right, right. Oh,
wow. That's awesome.
So many of our listeners are kids. Some might dream of singing or even composing choral works. What advice or bit of wisdom would you share with our listeners as they explore the world of music around them?
Well, first, everybody should be singing. Like that to me is, I feel every day should just start with singing. And it can be the easiest thing. You know, you have your parents put on in the car or at home, just put on some music that you like. You just sing with it. You sing in the shower, singing all this. It makes you feel better. Mm-hmm. And if it were up to me, I would start every school day with everybody gathered and singing for 15 or 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So that's something everyone should just do. For those who want to compose, and I would suggest everybody try this. One of the things that sometimes stops young people is they feel they don't know enough about it, that they maybe haven't learned enough about how to write it down or about how other composers, it can be very intimidating. You know, when you look at a composer like Mozart or Beethoven or Bach, then you think I don't know enough to even start composing. And in my experience, if you write down one note and then one note after it, you're already a composer.
Yeah.
It's just about trying to make, well, for me still, it's about trying to make the music that I wish someone else had written. Something I really want to hear and I need to hear, but that I can't seem to find anywhere.
Right, right.
And so what I would suggest to everybody is just sit down and try it. And it doesn't matter if you've got a piano at home or a little keyboard, or there's even lots of tools online now that are free.
Yeah.
That you just try making music, or you know, get your brothers and sisters or even your parents, just hand them forks and knives and a wooden bowl. And, you know, and just start trying to see if you can organize these sounds into something that you like to hear. Because I think once you've done it, once you've had that experience where you kind of have an idea and you have other people make those rhythms and sounds, and you hear this idea that started in your head and in your heart out in the world being performed by other people, you can't stop. It's the most thrilling feeling.
Yeah.
They should really try it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. And with technology now, it is possible to do more now than ever, I feel like, you know, with these online tools and sample sounds and, you know, all of these things that we have just at our fingertips. So
yeah, you can basically do anything. Although I would say to your students that or to young people that are listening, that sometimes all of that can be really overwhelming. Mm-hmm. Because you also, you can get overwhelmed by the technology and the, how does this work and how do I open this and the sound isn't working in my headphones. And so oftentimes, when I'm working with younger people, I start with the real basic, like I said, like a wooden bowl, or something that's in your kitchen, or if you happen to have a piano, or, you know, just things that you don't even have to think about how to turn it on or save it or any of that stuff. You just start making sound.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Well, Eric, thank you so much for being with us. It was a pleasure talking with you. And we wish you the best of luck and can't wait to hear more of your fabulous music.
Thank you, Bill. And thank you, Bruce. It was great.
Thanks, Eric.
Great. Thank you so much. See you, Eric.
Bye, guys. Thank you.
We want to thank Eric Whitaker again for being on the show, and also want to recognize the Aura Singers, who provided the vocal performance of Eric's piece, Lux Aurumque. And, of course, we want to thank you for listening.
Time to wrap it up, folks.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Music Podcast for Kids.
We hope you enjoyed the show, and most importantly, learned something cool today about music.
Remember to send in your jokes or even a topic in music you would like us to discuss by visiting our website, themusicpodcastforkids.com. If you are interested in awesome educational and fun songs for your kids to listen and sing along with, please visit brucefight.com. Music is available to download with iTunes, CD Baby, and Facebook, and most streaming platforms like Spotify and Amazon Radio. Links will be found in the show notes.
If you are interested in learning how to play the piano with a fun and engaging curriculum geared toward kids, please subscribe to Mr. Henry's YouTube channel called Mr. Henry's Music World. Links will be found in the show notes.
Please visit iTunes to leave a review of the podcast and also share the podcast with friends, relatives, aliens, whoever.
Again, we thank you so much for tuning in.